The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, March the 15th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled An Example of How the Mainstream Publishing Industry Works. And the time is 8:06 a.m. here in London, making it 4:06 on the East Coast of America and 6 minutes past one on the West Coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are throughout the world. Okay, so yesterday I played a clip of Derek and Clive in the middle of an airport review, which I thought would be quite amusing because my favourite Derek and Clive sketch was one in which they got confused between Richard Wagner and Robert Wagner. I did warn people there was profanity in it beforehand, and I was sort of thinking at the time, shall I just refer people to that if they want to listen to it, play it? What should I do? It's funny, isn't it? Because I'm not allowed on YouTube, but that is. So I'm censored, but they're not, and that had a lot of profanity in it. I did it because I thought people would find it amusing, and for those people who don't find profanity in any way amusing, I gave the warning to forward the show 2 minutes to cover the time that sketch, or rather that section of the sketch, took to play. If anybody didn't like that bit, I dread to think what they would how they would feel if they allowed it to continue playing when they start talking about Lord Dryborn or what have you. And as I mentioned, the full sketch, it's all audio only because Derek and Clive released 3 audio only albums in the 1970s. There was a film called Derek and Clive Get the Horn. That's the only filmed footage I'm aware of. But that was from an album called Derek and Clive Come Again. It was their second out of the 3. I think it was 1977, and the last one, Ad Nauseam, was 1979. The first one, I think, was 74. My point being is, I since realised, I woke up this morning, and I realised that sometimes I do things for a reason, only to discover later that I actually did them for a different reason. Now, there's a lot of people out there who think any use of profanity is completely uncalled for, completely wrong. I've argued sometimes that I think in that sketch there was a little too much profanity, but if there was none at all, it wouldn't have worked. So some humour requires some profanity. I was going to sort of, because there were lots of Fs coming up towards the end, and I thought all the best jokes had already been done. And I thought, shall I end it early? I thought, well, no, let's end it when they get him out of the cab. And then that's the actual end of that particular section. But that being said, the idea of profanity, from my point of view, as a Christian, I try to avoid it. But if it's done in a humorous way, or if someone's really, you know, I mean, you read in the Bible about people cursing and what have you, and they would be using the equivalent words back then that are the strongest curse words today. That would be my understanding. And these people were still blessed by God in many cases. So that led me to realise that the reason that I played that sketch, I thought about this morning, is I spoke a few days ago about sin and praying for forgiveness. And say, for example, I'd have played something racist. Obviously, if I played something racist in today, then, oh, you know, you get arrested, go to prison. But say I played something racist in the mid-90s when you could. The difference between Christianity and the political system is someone in the political system would find that and say, oh, you played that 30 years ago, so you need to be fired from the job you're doing today. Whereas Christianity would say, well, do you regret that? And if you say, well, actually, I do, can I be forgiven? Then it's forgiven and it's forgotten. You see the difference between the political system that wants to jail people and the system of Christianity that allows people to make mistakes if they are prepared to admit they've made a mistake and ask for forgiveness for their sins? I quantify that as well. I don't believe... You see, for example, say I played that clip yesterday because I actually wanted to offend people. That was my aim. I wanted to upset people, I wanted to annoy people. Then that to me would be a sin. But if you did it because you want to make people laugh, then that for me is not a sin. But ultimately, whether it's a sin or not a sin is determined by God. So what I'm getting at is if you really set out to commit a sin and then ask for forgiveness all the time and keep repeating it, I'm not sure if you'll get it. Whereas if you do something that, like I said earlier in the week, we could be committing sins throughout the day that we're not even are aware are sins, you know? So it's an interesting one, I find. I still pray once a day. I've shared my prayer on here. I used to do it every week on the Limey Show. I'm not going to do it again today. But what I am going to do is I talked about blasphemy earlier in the week as well and what blasphemy actually is. And I wrote about this in my book, In the Name of Yahweh. And I'm going to... I've got to mention this because I was looking at this earlier. And one of the last lines I put... I feel any reader who has also should feel them same instead of the same. So I've actually made a spelling mistake in my own book. And I wanted to point that out because I'm always keen to point out the errors in the Daily Mail. And whilst I believe that they make more errors than I've made in my book, I think it's only right that I should also point out mistakes I have made. This is in my first, well, not the first edition, but the one that preceded the Money Tree Publishing edition. I know that there was an extensive read-through, proofread that Dave Kahari goes through, and I participated in as well, so I'd be very surprised if that hadn't been picked up and corrected by that. But anyway, let me read to you what I wrote in the Name of Yahweh on the subject of blasphemy. We start off with Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. And he that blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, I put in Yahweh, but I'll say God here, so I would say Yahweh, but as you know, I pray to Yahweh, I believe Yahweh is the true name of God, I believe that's who you should pray to, but just so that people don't feel left out, I'm going to read it as it is in the King James Bible, and in this book, I changed all the areas where the reference was God, I changed them to Yahweh. And then I put, for example, what it should say here is the Lord. So I put that in brackets after Yahweh. So I was able to restore Yahweh's name in the King James Bible. But that's a by the by. I'll repeat it again. So let's just do it as I said it. So as he that blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land whom he blasphemeth the name of Yahweh the Lord, shall be put to death. Okay, here's my commentary. Have you ever said, oh God, when something has gone wrong? In the past I have, and on that basis it appears under Yahweh's law I am to be put to death. However, before I jump to such a conclusion, would it not make sense to clarify this by looking up blaspheme and curse in a dictionary? When you look up blaspheme, it says to treat a religious name irreverently. Irreverently means lack of reverence, and reverence means deep respect. Therefore, to blaspheme is to treat Yahweh with the opposite of deep respect, which can only mean deep hatred. On that basis, someone who treats Yahweh with deep hatred is to be put to death. What is the alternative? Allow him to encourage others to treat Yahweh with deep hatred until so many are caught up in hatred for Yahweh that they turn everyone away from his laws. And I refer you to the book of Deuteronomy. Can't remember the exact passage, but it's basically, you'll know it. It's where people follow my laws, they'll get the blessings, and where they don't, they'll get the cursings. There you go. So it would be in the interest of a people that wanted to turn people away from Yahweh to get them not to follow his laws, wouldn't it? Because then they wouldn't get the blessings. Not only would they not get the blessings from Yahweh, but they would get, on top of not getting the blessings, they get the complete opposite, which are the cursings. Okay, I'll continue. When you look up curse, there are a few definitions, one of them being profane exclamation. However, another, which is more accurate in this case, is invocation of destruction or punishment. Invocation means calling it on in prayer. So this could be like an imprecatory prayer against Yahweh. Of course, I pray an imprecatory prayer every day in my prayer against the enemies of Yahweh. So see how the word curse can be misinterpreted from verbalizing expletives at someone to praying for their destruction. It is quite understandable that the penalty for calling for the destruction of Yahweh is death. Yet sadly, the white nations in which we live today act on the basis that Yahweh is dead. Psychology and philosophy have replaced scripture in teaching us how to live our lives, and thus we are now taught to follow the God is dead proclamations of Friedrich Nietzsche, a heretical madman who spent the last decade of his life under the care of his mother and sister, unable to communicate as he lay dying of syphilis. There you go. So that's my research on blasphemy, cursing, the lack of reverence, all that sort of stuff. And that is where I stand. Something else I mentioned was I was going to watch the film In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood as the good guy, surprise, surprise, and John Malkovich as the baddie. I did watch it. It's got some great reviews online. I don't echo those reviews. It was okay to watch. I can understand now why I only watched it the once and never watched it again. But one thing that I do, as I said yesterday, when I see something like that, is I'll look the film up on Wikipedia, because for something like a film, I prefer it to IMDb. There's a lot more information. It's a lot easier to navigate around. I'm used to it. A lot of people prefer IMDb. But that being said, I looked up John Malkovich because I'd seen him in Con Air, and he's not like a favourite actor. He's almost looked upon. The way I could see people talking about him was, you know, he's so good at... And what I've seen him in, he plays a really good bad guy or something like that. As usual, the really good people are ones that never get mentioned. Now, if you go back to the Clint Eastwood film Dirty Harry, and the bad guy there was played by Andrew Robinson, that absolute psycho. And the way he played that role was so good that the director, Don Siegel, said to him he was very sorry that he'd ruined his career, because he'd peaked so early in that role that people would always associate him with it. And I think he gave him a lead role in a subsequent film. I think it was called Charlie Varick that Don Siegel did, that I've never seen, because he felt so guilty about, you know, typecasting this guy so early in his career. I've only seen him in a few other things, but what I've seen him in, he was in Hellraiser, which isn't one of my favourite films, but again, he played both the good guy and the bad guy in that role, and it showed his breadth of talent that he could cover both. Perhaps most recently, I saw him in an X-Files episode, which I believe is called Alpha, in which he plays a guy that transforms into lots of different animals, which aren't the most friendly animals on the planet. Let's just leave it at that. But that was very interesting. So someone like him, he should have gone from role to role to role, even if he did look typecast in the first one. Just give him bad guy roles. But it kind of, the career sort of really fizzled out. And I believe he's a lot more talented than John Malkovich. But one thing I did find of interest on his Wikipedia page is this statement. It says, At the Cambridge Union Society in 2002, when asked whom he would most like to fight to the death, Malkovich replied that he would rather just shoot journalist Robert Fisk and politician George Galloway, stating that Galloway was not honest. Journalists speculated that the comment was related to criticism of Israel and the war in Iraq. So I'll just leave that with you to ponder in your own time. Okay, so now let's look at what I have downloaded today to listen to throughout the day. And that should be a pretty quick segment because there's not a great deal. The Not the BCFM Politics show is still playing up, so it's very difficult to give you a link to find it. I got it with a lot of messing about, so Tony Gosling's got some problems with his WordPress site that he needs to get some help to solve. But that being said, any of you out there might be an email address on there, so if you know of something, I'm not in touch with him about this, but you could always volunteer, because it's been 2 or 3 weeks now since the green button that you generally click on to download the show has not been working. I downloaded Richie from Boston. He's made another video in his garage called AI Made from Human Blood, which I found quite interesting how the title and the garage link up. I feel very sorry for Richie having all these problems with his truck, but he's even made the point himself, you know, people say that I'm always in the garage and stuff like that, and obviously my truck's not reliable, but he argues that it is, and it's simply the amount of miles he puts on it. You've got to bear in mind that this guy spends most of his time driving across America, it would seem. So, therefore, his vehicle that he uses is going to require more than the annual service than most of us have to deal with our vehicles. So, that's on the Richie from Boston channel at bitshoot.com. And then, I think this is probably behind the paywall. This is from rentsradio.com. You need to go there and become a subscriber. Stefan Verstappen, who I always enjoy listening to, he was on in the third hour of yesterday's Jeff Rents program for a show entitled There's No Place Like Community. Now, Stefan is involved in he's been involved in setting up a local community that help each other out with different things. So we'll see what comes up in that show. But I've just got those two hours really, and the Not the BCFM Politics show that I let me just go over there because I did save a link. It's gone anyway. I'll try it just while you're on the air, just for those of you who like this Tony Gosling show, because you might not be able to find it. So right, radioforall.net. all right, so what you go to is radioforall, and then 4 is the number 4, so radio, the number 4, all.net. Now, what you need to do is there's a very little search box, and it's below a big star-shaped thing saying support our project. Now, what I do there is I just typed in Gosling. Now, I hit the return key, okay, and here we are. So, it has worked. So, this is what you need to do. And then you'll see a load of posts saying state of the city reports, all going up and down. But if you hover over each one, the first one, it's just clicked it open, I want to go back. The first one is March the 14th, which is yesterday. The second one's March the 7th. The third one is February the 28th. So these are all the Fridays that the show goes out, the last few weeks. So it's even under a complete different title than this show is. That's why I'm talking about so difficult. But what you do here is you just click the top one. UK backing Jalani's HTF death squads in Syria. Hundreds of Christians and Muslim civilians massacred. That's the top link. So we just click on that. And then that opens up a new page. And then what you have to do is you scroll down to where it says version 1 podcast. And you'll see it says length 4 hours. And you'll see there's a little red, like a button there. So we click that, and that takes us to...
Were you working for number 2? For
her! And that takes you to the show, which is 4 hours and 15 seconds. So I apologise to those of you who don't listen to the show for the lengthy explanation, but you can see now why, if I hadn't have given you this explanation, some of you would have struggled to find the show. But there's 4 hours of listening for the weekend if you are interested. I will be listening, and if there's bits I don't like, I will be whacking the forward button through it. But generally, this is one of my favourite shows of the week, which is why I have gone through this explanation for you. So let's move on to see how the news has been developing. And there's only three stories I've got for you. I don't create the news, unlike a lot of people in the independent media, but I can only report on what I find. So we did a show title relating to this hypocrisy of the elites, what, 2-3 days ago, building highways for their conference in the Amazon jungle later in the year. Well, the Daily Mail has gone back to this with an article called, well, it's Ross Clark, who's obviously the writer. VIP highway cut through the Amazon that reveals staggering hypocrisy of all those COP climate jamborees. So there's all sorts of different things here. I'll give you a couple of quotes from the article. Hundreds of acres of virgin rainforest are being felled to make way for an 8-mile, 4-lane road to speed some 50,000 politicians, officials and campaigners in limousines to the conference centre in the Amazonian city of Belém. But the environmental destruction doesn't end there. The city's airport is being expanded to cope with 14 million passengers a year, twice as many as present. So there you go. Let's move on to Doge celebrates slashing $400 million to trans farmers while Fox host reveals why cuts will ruin his weekend. Now, this is a bit of a deceptive headline, because when you read this, you think they were giving trans farmers $400 million a year. I wouldn't have thought there's that many trans farmers there. But when you go into the article, and scroll down, you'll find that they actually, it says, earlier this week, Trump's agricultural secretary, Brooke Rollins, said one of the cancelled deals included a $379,000 grant to educate transgender, BIPOC and queer farmers about food justice. So this is merely a fraction of the, what was it, $400 million I said in the headline. But I can give you some other examples of what the National Institute of Health grants that it says were thrown in the trash. Oh, gone past it. Vanderbilt University lost a $100,000 grant to study social networks involving sexual and gender minorities. Just getting my breath there. Another $37,000 was cancelled that had been earmarked for the University of Houston to study fear of deportation among Latinx young adults. The University of Pennsylvania has lost $681,000 for social media anti-vaping messages meant for sexual and gender minority teens. Also, $225,000 is taken from the University of Colorado to study the effects of hormones on headaches in trans masculine adolescents. So the headline, if you want to look up any more examples, is Doge celebrates slashing $400 million to trans farmers while Fox host reveals why cuts will ruin his weekend. And the reason that the Fox host is saying the cuts will ruin his weekend is that Jesse Waters, a pro-Trump Fox host, said that Trump took some grants away from Johns Hopkins, where his sister works. My mum is upset and texting me. It's a whole family thing. We will have to deal with it over the weekend. And Johns Hopkins University will be losing 2,200 jobs after USA funding was cut, according to Axios. And the final headline relates to today's show title, an example of how the mainstream publishing industry works. Headline, Russell Brand is sued for £220,000 for failing to write 2 self-help books in a deal that was signed before he was accused of sex abuse by 4 women. Now, this £220,000 figure comes from the combined advance for 2 self-help books. And they came from a total of $575,000 for what it says 2 original literary works of non-fiction. So, but get this. So they're going to pay this guy over $500,000, according to this article, for two books. So it doesn't mention whether royalties had anything to do with it, whether he'd have to give money back if not enough royalties came in, anything like that. Doesn't say that at all. But get this. When there was problems, i.e. it says here, when it did not materialise, i.e. the books, they even paid a ghostwriter £3,000 for a draft. Now, what does that tell you, folks? So what they'd have been prepared to do is release the books under his name that were written by someone else. But the person who wrote them would get £3,000, or one of them, or whatever, and Brand would get over $500,000 for not writing anything, just putting his name on the front. Okay? So that is why today's show title is an example of how the mainstream publishing industry works. I've not made hundreds of thousands of pounds on any of my books. There was only two of them, I say any. But there are people out there, and you think about all the, you know, famous people, the football, the sports stars and stuff like that. I'll throw in quickly before I forget, Mick Foley, who wrestled for the WWF, now WWE, as various roles like Mankind and Cactus Jack, stuff like that. He was one who famously had The Undertaker throw him off the top of a cage through the commentator's table, some huge drop. They thought he was dead. When it came to the end of his career, they were going to do a book on him, and he said, well, I want to write it. And they'd done books on all these other wrestling stars that hadn't written anything. And they were like, well, no, we always do it and we'll just put your name on it. He said, no, I've done English at college. I want to write it myself. I actually read that book and it wasn't a bad book, actually. So that's the book on wrestling, if you're interested, by Mick Foley. His autobiography, I don't know what it's called. I think he's written other books since because it was successful. So, you know, why shoot a gift horse in the mouth, as they say. But generally, you would have to assume, based upon writing a book, it's not the hardest thing in the world, but it's not the easiest either. The question is always where you start. If someone ever asked me about writing a book, the only way I can write is chronologically. Okay, so when I did In the Name of Yahweh, I got a chronological King James Bible. So the bits I wanted to include, I included chronologically. I since sold that Bible on because I only needed it for that. You know, to get it right chronologically, especially, you see, the Old Testament, the books are really set out chronologically anyway. But when you come to the New Testament, especially when you've got the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the Gospels, of course, this is their account of times for Jesus Christ. And you need them broken down into, you know, how their experiences, because they report. I'm doing a traditional Christian message at the moment. I'm doing a long series on the parables. And there are some in which the same event is recorded in all four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. So, of course, they all have to be grouped together in a chronological Bible because they're reporting the same event that obviously all happened at the same time. So that's an example. But I would always say to someone to write chronologically. So if you're going to write about something, try something in your own life and then you don't have to, you know, you might not think about everything from when you were born. I mean, I don't remember anything from, you know, the age 7 or 8, something like that. I've got a bad memory as it is. But you might suddenly think of, oh, I've got a really clear memory of something I did when I was 15. And I think people would want to know about it. And then you write that in there. And then other things that you think, and you just slot it, and it gradually builds from there. If you wait to start at the beginning, then it could be difficult. The only thing that I warn you about is a mistake I made. Make sure it's all in the same tense. If you write everything in the past tense, make sure it's all in the past tense, and then you don't write something as if you're writing about it happening today, because then, of course, it won't flow properly in the book. And I made that mistake, and I had to go back and make sure it was all in the same tense, so it all, you know, sounded right. Okay, so, as usual, I've distracted myself, but I think what I was coming to was, I think a lot of famous people who come out with books, you wonder whether they would have the talent to write a book. And so, therefore, there would be a ghostwriter. Now, I remember Tex Mars pointed out Pat Robertson, was it? Some so-called conservative commentator in America. But he did an autobiography that actually was ghostwritten. And he made a joke about that, how you would, why call it an autobiography if it's ghost written? Why not just say a biography by the ghost writer? But there you go. Some of these people are so precious that they want people to think they've written this, that and the other. I would not want to do something like that, but whatever. That guy claimed to be religious, but he would choose to lie about stuff like that. So I thought it was worth throwing that out there. The fact a ghostwriter gets $3,000 for a book that somebody else is going to take credit for, who takes over $500,000. So there you go. Let's now look and see what is going on in the mainstream news right now. So we'll start off with the Associated Press, as we always do. APnews.com. Trump demands unprecedented control at Columbia, alarming scholars and speech groups. Appeals court lifts blocks on Trump's orders restricting diversity, exclusion, equity and exclusion programs. Senate approves funding bill hours before shutdown deadline. Again, this kind of, it's not mentioned here, but the reason I understand Trump was targeting universities was primarily for anti-Israel speech. So, again, this is one of them I put down on my little list of what's the real list of things that Trump's been told he has to do, and what's the list that he does to sort of get the MAGA crowd on board. And I think you'll find some very different topics on either list. Okay, let's move on to BBC News, and we'll do the top 10, shall we? That seems to have be quite fun, and obviously if you want to look up any of these things, just note down the headline and you can just type BBC in followed by the headline. You can read the article in its entirety. Number 10, Rachel Reeves insists changes to welfare needed. The problem the Labour Party have got is before they got into power, they made all these promises to the wealthy that they weren't going to increase their taxes, and so now they're having to raise money from all the people that the Labour traditionally are supposed to be protecting, like people on welfare, which I don't agree with. The Bible says if you don't eat, if you don't work, you shan't eat. Churches, missions, all these sort of things were set up over the years to help people who legitimately, they might be disabled, things like that. There are people out there who legitimately can't work, and so charities are set up to look after these people, and I agree with that. But you seem to see a lot of people on welfare who seem to be completely able-bodied and capable of doing something, in which case, why are they being given this money? But, of course, the Labour are jumping up and down a lot of the rank and file because they think that their job is to give money for free to people on welfare who, as I say, might be perfectly capable of working, rather than their real job, which was supposed to be, historically, looking after the working-class people. And that's why I shudder to think what the Talk Puddle Martyrs would think of the sort of woke policies that have hijacked the party that they fought and suffered for. Number 9. Man denied life-extending prostate cancer drug. Number 8. Does cutting benefits work? Number 7. Teacher who sexually abused pupil jailed for 2 years. This was a woman with a boy. So there's a lot of cases, this I see in America, a lot of stories coming out all the time, these women going off with 15, 16 year old boys. It's something that, let's be honest, has probably happened over time, but it's regularity now. It's like the frequency we see in the UK of another female prison officer being arrested for having sex with a male inmate. It's crazy. That's girl power, I guess, for you. What the Spice Girls were, was that what the Spice Girls were aiming for? Did they want these sort of things to happen? Probably not. But certainly, one could argue that before the big equality and all that sort of push, these type of things weren't happening. So this is one of the casualties of that, without a doubt. Number 6, US had productive talks with Putin over Ukraine war, Trump says. Number 5, Greenland's politicians unite against Trump. Number 4, prospect of Ukraine ceasefire still uncertain despite Trump's optimism. Number 3, kidnappers locked up for Israeli record producer ambush. Number two, for holding a wombat thousands threatened my life. And number one, ship captain charged over North Sea collision. Okay, so let's go over to Daily Mail, see what's going on the top of their website. I'll be going back there later to get stories for Monday's I'm Talking To You show. Trump set to ban people from 43 countries from travelling to the US, including Russia, with nations warned they will stay on ban list if governments do not address deficiencies within 60 days. So that is the top story over there. Let's go over to the independent news now. And start off with, well, not really independent, is it, RT.com? But as I've said before, they make it very difficult to access in the UK, so it's become an independent site for me. UN should probe Bavaria's handling of Nazi-looted art. The German state has allegedly concealed the dubious provenance of nearly 1,000 works of art to avoid restitution claims. One wonders if the Chabad Lubavitch that back Vladimir Putin had any influence on this article. Okay, let's move on to rents.com. See what's going on over here. Scroll down. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. Donald Trump issues grim World War III warning if Ukraine peace fails. That is the top story. Putin calls for all Ukrainians in Kursk to surrender, sympathetic to Trump's wish to spare lives. So that's the top two stories. And the first one about Trump's World War III warning links us to another independent news site, endtimesheadlines.org. But you can best get it by going to rents.com. And now let's go over to halturnerradioshow.com. United States ejects South Africa ambassador racist who hates America. That's the top article. So what was he racist about? I think I have an idea. Just scrolling down. It's a bit, actually, this is a bit lengthy. You can look that up for yourself. It's not quite what I thought. I know that the South African government have been speaking out against the actions of Israel in Gaza, but it does not seem to be that, and it's too long to get into now. Medvedev, the next few hours, that's another story. He said Russia should accept, oh, where are we? It says it would be a slaughter not seen on the battlefield since World War II. This is all about the Kursk business again, Ukrainian troops inside Kursk. And let's move on here, because this just isn't working, is it? Earthnewspaper.com. Mark R. Else's website. Just waiting for this to load up. What have we got on the top? Are LEDs destroying your health? Dr. Sam Bailey. That's a video. I don't use LED lights in my... I actually ordered some, because someone said that they were... in the summer, because the apartment can get quite hot, I said use LEDs, they don't get so hot, and they could, and I got some from Amazon and they were flickering and stuff, and they're making me feel a bit funny, so I ended up sending them all back. And when the halogen lamps were banned in this country, I bought a load in so that I had several lined up, so goodness knows what I'm going to do when they run out. And then let's move on to, for sake of time, Earth, we want Earth newspaper, censored.news. See what's going on over here. Ah, oh, that reminds me, yes, indeed. I've said some positive things about one of the publications that they list on censored.news, the Exposé. And I was looking through it yesterday, and there's a lot of accusations at that publication is very pro-Israel, and I was looking at some of those things and what people were claiming, that the way that they were reporting and what have you, and let me just say I wasn't very happy, so I'm not going to be going to the Exposé again, which is a bonus for me because I've constantly complained about the amount of pop-ups that they hit you with their grifting begging bowl out, so I'm not going to be visiting that anymore in the future. So let's finish off with the beforeitsnews.com top 10. Scroll down here to number 10, which went up 6 hours ago, 107 people viewing. Gene Decode and Joe and Scott, Trump Q Secret, get ready for the next phase. Number 9 went up 7 hours ago, 107 people viewing. Mike King, it's all about to blow. Oh, the page has jumped. Mike King, it's all about to blow. Trump's next move will change history. Really? Yeah, in a good or a bad way, do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Number 8 went up a day ago, 124 people viewing. Wan 07, 107 and JMC Urgent Emergency. Big arrest, the Gitmo March begins 2025. Can't make head nor tail of that. Number 7 went up 13 hours ago, 133 people viewing. Gitmo update, big Q Trump intel, the storm has arrived. Number 6 went up 7 hours ago, 181 people viewing. New X22 report, Trump start with fraud, Trump orders biggest move yet, 2025. Number 5 went up 2 hours ago, 196 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, Trump deploys US military worldwide to make mass arrest of treasonous... whoever, the headline runs out. Number 4 went up 11 hours ago, 199 people viewing. And we know, Trump drops an X-bomb. Calm before the storm, game over. Number 3, Steve Quayle issues red alert warning with Mike Adams. Pull all assets out of Europe. This is number 3, went up 13 hours ago, 255 people viewing now. Steve Quayle and Mike Adams, or Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman, or Steve Quayle and Greg Hunter, used to listen to all those shows, used to really look forward to listening to Steve Quayle. And then he started pushing this satellite phone store garbage. All right, and I call it garbage. I don't know what their phones are like because their means of marketing them are so in-your-face offensive. And it's offensive to me when somebody spends 15 minutes on something trying to make it sound like news when it's just a sales pitch. Okay? So I complained about this on this show before. And then I went back and I listened to some more Steve Quayle shows. And there was one I remember that was, you know, he didn't mention it at all, was really good. And then suddenly they give it all to you again. So I'm not listening to this guy again. I've given him a chance. But to treat your audience like that, to just go on and on and on and on and trying to make a sales pitch sounds like an information report. And all this stupid nonsense about, oh, you get a free phone. Look how much you're paying a month for the thing. Well, just phone them up and say, well, we don't want the contract. We'll have the free phone then. And then you'll see how free the phone is. All right? So anyone pushing mobile phones is like someone walking around selling double glazing, as far as I'm concerned. It makes you look ridiculous. And so for that reason, I'm not going to know if that show was any good. But one thing that did jump out at me is this is classic Steve Quayle. He associates with Hal Turner, who puts us, his articles are well known for their fear porn nature. Some of them come true, many of them don't. The first time I saw this article about all this, what was it, I reported, I think yesterday or the day before, 10 billion worth of capital has been pulled out of Europe in recent months. So you can see where he's got this from and what he's running with. And it reminds me of what Devi Kidd used to refer to Dave Hodges as Disaster Dave Hodges. And this is another guy who will look, try and grab a pretty shocking headline and make something out of it, which, you know, may end up being true. I'll be one of the first to know because I live in Europe. But I've seen these people do so many fear porn shows, which are entertaining, but end up amounting to nothing, that and for the other reason concerning the satellite phone stories, why I will not be listening to that show. Okay, number 2 went up 10 hours ago, 306 people viewing. David Nino and Lewis Herbs. What he saw is shocking, 2025. Not as shocking as was what I did. But anyway, number 1 went up 15 hours ago, 412 people viewing. A satanic death cult is trying to kill everyone on Earth and no one seems to notice, 2025. It'll be interesting to see where they apportion blame on that one. So that being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me this Saturday, March the 15th, 2025, for a show entitled An Example of How the Mainstream Publishing Industry Works. This show will be back with you all on Monday. I'll be back with a traditional Christian message tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful weekend and bye for now.